Would you please comment on the physical safety of your daughters in Nicaragua since, or Honduras, sorry, since the Peace Corps has been pulled out?
Basically, Julia and Estelle are not safe any more than you and I are, because apart from God's sovereignty and grace and mercy. But just last month, the reason the Peace Corps has left Honduras is because it's become the midpoint in the cocaine route that goes from Colombia, Honduras, the United States, well, the cartels in Mexico and the United States. But peaceful, sleepy, America-loving Honduras has become very dangerous. And just within 300 yards of the hospital, there was a sweet little family living in a little house they live in, a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter. The daughter was severely handicapped, the mother was slightly handicapped, and the grandmother was old and weak. And they did something, because the drug runners go up and down. You can tell they're drug runners. They drive these really fancy trucks, and they all have machine guns. And, you know, it's really clear who they are. And they live in the big houses that you can see along the coast. And there's no, you don't bother them. It's just like Mexico, you know, it's dangerous. So, but this grandma, mama, and handicapped child did something that bothered them. So they came to their house, and they dismembered them all. Do you know what that means? They cut them in pieces. And they left them all in the living room cut in pieces as a warning. And so that's what goes on down there. But the hospital is kind of like a little beacon in that area, because they serve anybody. They serve the machete wounded. They serve the gunshot wounded, sharing the gospel. And I think it's almost like they respect the fact they're not there for money. Every doctor, there are, I don't know how many doctors at that hospital they serve at, all of them are there totally at their own expense. Nobody gets paid to work there. It's a big drag, and it's buggy and everything else. So how they're doing is they scare us to death, but we just entrust them to the Lord. And as it says in Psalm 91, that the Lord will not let, though 10,000 fall at your right hand, he won't let it come near you until he's perfectly ready. Which reminds me of a story. Ralph Witterskamp, my friend that I discipled for years, he was in World War II, and he was in charge. In World War II, they didn't have all the sensors we have nowadays, and satellites and infrared and everything else. And he was in charge of walking in front of the general's jeep as the Allies were making their way across Europe. And he would walk with another guy down the road, so if they had planted a landmine, they would get it, and the general would survive. And that's his job. He did that all through World War, through the campaigns of the D-Day onward. And you know what he said? He said, I got up every morning, and he said, Lord, I am ready. And he wrote a little note to his wife to have mailed to her when he blew up. And he just went out, and he became a testimony, because he was not afraid of death. And I think that because of Christ, we can do that. Now, we don't go out and stand in the train tracks and see if the Lord will derail it. But if you believe you're called to go anywhere, like I took for years of my life, I took Bibles, smuggled Bibles into Muslim countries and communist countries. And, you know, I wasn't married and had no family. And if I went to jail, it was okay, because you remember Paul witnessed to the jailers, you know. But they believe, my daughters that he asked about, believe what Jesus claimed in Psalm 91. And Psalm 91 has been kind of like the soldier's verse, you know. It says, verse 7, well, long before that, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Their doors don't lock. You know, that's just how it is over there. You shall not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you've made the Lord your refuge. Now, that doesn't mean we're invulnerable. We'll never have a tragedy, have a car accident, have cancer, have the night stalker come and get us like in Los Angeles and kill us in our bed. But what it means is that we have an appointment. Hebrews 9 tells us already, I have an appointment when Jesus is going to come and get me. I don't know if he's going to come get me on an airplane or come and get me on some icy road in southwestern Michigan or come and get me at Bronson with, you know, a breathing tube, you know, when I'm 80 or something. But he's already set the appointment, and we are not to fear. Fear not is the most repeated negative prohibition for Christians in the Bible. Because we're sheep. Remember, we're the sheep of his pasture? And we are prone to fear. That's why we hoard. That's why we buy security systems, carry guns. And there's nothing wrong with all that. Have them all. But what is wrong is fear. And so, two sidebars to that. We are invulnerable until the moment of our appointment with the Lord comes. And secondly, we should live in great peace. The Lord wants us to be beacons of peace. And so it's okay to take, you know, prudent, propitious steps for, you know, ordering our lives. But it's wrong to live in fear. And I'm glad that I get to say that because all of us fear to some degree. And the Lord wants us to learn to fear not. That's why he says, more than anything else, not in the Bible, even more than don't commit, you know, immorality. More than that is fear not. Fear not. In fact, it says in Romans 1, as long as you brought it up, everybody, if you got your Bible, look at Romans 1. I think that we need to think about this because fear prevents a lot of people from doing a lot of things. People are afraid to serve the Lord because remember I told you the story about the guy that said, I'll serve the Lord as soon as I have $5 million in the bank or $1 million in the bank. And I talked to him a year later and he had $1 million. He was in oil and gas and made it. And I said, are you going to serve the Lord? He says, my wife says $5 million. See, we're afraid that we don't have enough. But look what it says in Romans 1. It says, and I got to find it. Let's see, where does it say the... It's in the list, and it's fearful. Whoever finds it first. It's in the list of sins, but the fearful... 29, thank you. Here we go. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded, they are whisperers, backbiters. Where does it say fearful? Did I read fearful? Oh, it's Revelation. Thanks, Dale. Where is it? What chapter? 21? 21, in who isn't in heaven? Okay, it's not Romans 1. It's Revelation 21. There it is. Thank you. 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns forever and ever. And that cowardly are people characterized by fear. And that is side by side with sorcerers, which are people that are into drug-induced trances that get into witchcraft, and the sexually immoral and murderers and the abominable. And the Lord says, fearful are right there with them. So the whole point doesn't mean go to Honduras. It means go wherever God wants you to go and sleep peacefully at night, knowing that nothing can befall us apart from the Lord allowing it. And if he allows it, he works it together for his good. Not our good, his good. And when we focus on his good, not our good, we're not afraid. Because it's not our money anyway, it's not our life anyway, it's not our house anyway, it's not our car anyway, it's his, and we're not going to be afraid.